Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Hello, folks, and welcome back to another episode. And as always, and as John said, I am your host, Brad, joined by my sometimes regular co-host, Brad. I understand you just got back from another fine vacation. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm recharged, and as we're sitting here, we're watching a video of an old sturgeon fishing trip, so I might as well start off by announcing my big catch of the of my recent vacation. It was up on the northwest angle of Lake of the Woods at a place called Bay Store Camp on Oak Island, where we've been going every year since 1994, an annual winter trip. And the fishing was pretty good, but more memorable than that was the sturgeon net with which I have returned. A very, very large, fine, big net. And I tell you what, if a fish won't fit in that, I don't want to catch it. You've seen it. What do you think?
Well, let's just say if one of us falls out of the boat, we're in good hands, because we'll fit right in to be rescued.
I would definitely say, in fact, I think that net could probably hold a small boat. It's a Frabel musky net, but the owner up there, Frank Walsh, had one sitting in his store, and I happened to remark, "My, that's a fine net." And he said, "Well, take it." So I took it. And now we're definitely not going to have to worry about fish not fitting in the net this year. But it was a great trip. We went up. There was actually, you know, kind of two separate groups that combined into one. The first group went up on Friday, February 17th, and as anyone who lives in the Northland may recall, probably the coldest day of the whole winter, and this group was snowmobiling 43 miles across Lake of the Woods to reach the final destination of the northwest angle. And I remember looking at the thermometer that day and sitting in the office and thinking, boy, I'm glad I'm not part of that group. But they made it across okay, and a buddy and I went up 2 days later. We trailered our sleds most of the way. We did the wimpy thing, so we didn't have to snowmobile nearly that far. And the weather had improved considerably by then, so we had a short trip, and before long we were fishing, and we easily caught limits of walleyes every day we were there, and a few bonus eel pout and some saugers and some perch. So great trip, just went by too fast.
Well, before we move along and I even comment on the trip, Frank, I've never met you, but thanks a lot for the net, because I know Brad's gonna let me use it when I'm netting all his big sturgeons on the upcoming trip. So just for the wonderful thanks, why don't you throw a website out there, Brad?
That'd be www.baystorecamp.com, and I'll put in another plug for him. He's one of the finest muskie operations on Lake of the Woods. If you want to know a thing or two about catching muskies or have a great trip, give Frank a call. Check out his website. His phone number's listed right there. I guarantee you won't be disappointed in that deal.
Okay, now on to the trip. First off, the eel pout we ate was wonderful, and we always talk about eating eel pout and how wonderful they really are, so I have to start with the delectable meal that you brought back for us, and I loved it. Thank you very much.
I tell you, eel pout's a real treat. I remember the days when people would turn up their noses at eel pout and throw them out on the ice, which, you know, by the way, these days is illegal, as well it should be, but nobody's doing that anymore. They've caught on to the fact that you cut the back straps out of these fish, and sure, they're not much to look at. They're wiggly, they're slimy, not pretty fish by any means. They don't call them lawyers for nothing. And but you cut those back straps out of them, they're a very fine eating fish. I mean, really, what they are, they're a freshwater cod. And I mean, you look on fish markets, cod are a pretty desirable fish, and that's basically what this is. So yeah, no, they're a real treat. We had them a couple times up there. Poor man's lobster, boil them up, little melted butter, some garlic powder, salt, whatever you want to put on there. It's a real treat.
Well, I had to get that in because it was just so wonderful, and I know a lot of people still turn their noses up at pout. But a really interesting story came back with you on this, and I want you to tell the story because, well, you were there to live it. But a gentleman on his very first ice fishing trip, and I got to see one picture of him, and he looked like the happiest guy in the world holding his lawyer fish in that picture.
Absolutely, and that's pretty much the way he was from the start of the trip till the end. I mean, it was what a real treat being around folks like this. It just absolutely, I mean, he had never been fishing before. much less ice fishing before, and he had certainly never taken a 43-mile snowmobile ride across Lake of the Woods in a 20 below zero air temperature. But, I mean, he just absolutely embraced this whole trip, and he ended up catching all the walleyes he wanted to catch, and as a treat, he is the pout king on this trip. He caught a 10.5-pound eel pout that went home with him, and they were going to enjoy that as a little treat, the crew there, when they got back to southern Minnesota, from the fine southern Minnesota town of Dodge Center, so a long ways from Lake of the Woods. But it was really fun, because I can still, you know, hear his laugh. And, you know, according to the guys that were fishing with him when he caught that eel pout, he could not stop laughing. I was down the island about a mile from where he caught that fish, but we were keeping in touch back and forth by radio, and everyone, you know, you could kind of hear him laughing in the background on the radio. They're trying to catch this fish. And, you know, they'd already seen it at the bottom of the hole, so they know it was an eel pout. And like I say, the guy just had a blast, and it was a lot of fun. And I asked him if he was going to come back next year, and all he said was, well, I'm looking for a snowmobile, so that should probably answer your question. He borrowed someone's sled this year, but next year sounds like he's going to have his own, and he'll probably have some better boots, too. This year he went up with 4 buckle overshoes and some foot warmers, and I guess it did the trick in the end, even on that very cold day. But, I mean, if you're talking about ice fishing fashion, you would not see this guy in any ads.
I'm sorry, but staying warm and good clothes and good boots is a mainstay for me. But you know what? I learned that the hard way, too, so he'll learn.
Well, 4 buckle overshoes, I didn't even realize they made them. I think the last time I had seen 4 buckle overshoes, I was probably in about third grade. But I remember, I do remember there was a difference as a kid. If you had the 4 buckles, you were really pretty cool. But if you had the zipper kind, you were kind of a nerd. So, I mean, I always kind of wanted those 4 buckle ones. So, you know, maybe going back to my childhood, I was a little jealous and wished I had some boots like that. Maybe I better get some.
I'm sure Home of Economy can help you out with that if you want.
They probably can. But no, like I say, you know, all in all, just a great trip. It's just a shame they have to go by so fast. I mean, you start the trip on a Sunday and you're thinking, oh, this is great. I've got, you know, 4 full days to be up here, you know, in just an absolutely beautiful part of the world on a lake that is known for its winter fishing. And it just goes by so fast. It's, you know, for us, it's a real nice trip, too, because we get to, besides fishing, we get to put some miles on the snowmobiles. And conditions up there right now as of late February, early March are just absolutely fabulous. And I can't think of any downsides to it. You know, like I say, the only problem was it went by too fast.
Well, it's always good to hear of a good, successful trip. And as our listeners know, we're pretty fortunate that it's pretty rare to have a less than stellar trip, and you know, sooner or later we're due. But interesting thing came up. You got a chance to try your new iFinder out. I know the last time you were on with us 2 weeks ago, it was the old one going out and the new one was ordered, and it was kind of interesting. A listener from Palm Beach, Florida sent us an email. I believe his name was Mark, and wondering how that worked. So let us know what happened.
Well, I tell you, you know, ask me in a year and a half and I'll probably give you a more accurate answer, but initial impressions are really quite favorable. Used it up on Lake of the Woods with the Lake Master chip, and I really like that color screen. I really did. It seems like it opens up some details that you would miss in black and white, you know, little nuances in the color and so on, or, you know, in the contour lines. A drawback, probably, if you're in the daylight, even in the daylight, you really can't see the thing out in the open without having the light on, which if you're just running the AA batteries, it's going to chew through batteries pretty fast. I didn't have that problem because I have an AC adapter on my snowmobile, so I just ran it through the adapter and plugged it in that way. So, you know, just great. But like I say, I think probably would go through an awful lot of batteries. But there's no doubt I like that color screen, and anybody that's got an old iFinder, if they looked at this one, would certainly be impressed. Now, like I say, the big question is, will it hold up under the test of time? I mean, I'm sorry. A year and a half out of a GPS unit just isn't acceptable. So I'm really hoping for better things, but the verdict is still out on that one.
All right. And Mark, and those of you in the southern states, I'm glad you're tuning in to us every week, because it's always good to have listeners around the country. And any of you, north, south, Canada, overseas, if you got some questions about some things, just send us an email. It's all over the website. So I guess it'll be my turn kind of to talk about adventures. And
well, I just want to add one thing here real quick for, you know, some of you listeners down south. If you really can't comprehend the idea of what it's like to be out in 20 below zero temperatures, crawl in your freezer and maybe double how cold it is, and that's what it's like to be at 20 below zero. It's very cold, but invigorating.
Always a wise guy. Always a wise guy in the group. Well, I didn't get a whole lot of things done. I did a little light crappie fishing, nothing fabulous here last weekend, and did a little bit of northern fishing, but I didn't work very hard at it, so I didn't catch a whole lot. But I'll tell you what I did learn. I learned a new method to cut Y-bones out of a northern.
What's different from what we did on the video?
Actually, the cuts are virtually the same, but you leave the fish on the skin, cut the Y-bones almost out, and you can grab the tail end and they kind of zip out, and what you're left with is a complete fillet. And then you take the skin off from there. And, you know, for people who have to transport across Canadian borders or state lines, definitely will make transport a lot easier with a boneless pike.
Excellent idea. And I'm sure, you know, with that type of a cutting technique, a sharp knife is probably even more important than it would be with kind of the old technique, what you did before, I would imagine.
Well, you know, I decided I was going to try it with a regular standard knife. That, of course, was dull, so it didn't work out so good. So the second one, I just ran the electric through it, and it made all the difference in the world. I mean, if I'd had a sharp knife, it would have worked a lot better, but it worked just fine for me with the electric knife.
I tell you what, I'm just so sold on electric knives, and I might add, too, as long as we're talking about them, they do a fine job of taking the back straps out of a fine eel pouch from any body of water. So, you know, I think you do have to know how to fillet a fish, obviously, with the old manual kind before you delve into the electric knife waters, but it is a great way to clean fish. I think it's much faster, and it's certainly much easier for me.
Well, I have a feeling, just based on our success of our first video on cutting Y-bones out of a pike, there might be a Cutting the Y-bones 2 released here in the months to come, just because, for that transport issue. It's just a legality issue. It's a horse apiece. Personally, I like the first way better, but for a transport issue and staying legal, I think this new way is probably the way to go.
And, you know, when it comes to staying legal, that probably is a nice little transition to our next, you know, I guess my next rant of the week. And that involves a case that happened up here last summer on the Red River of the North. Three anglers from out of state were cited for keeping too many catfish over the slot limit. There's a slot limit up here on the Red you can have 5 catfish, only one of them can be longer than 24 inches. And in this case, these three anglers were caught by a game warden on the water with 11 catfish over 24 inches. So clearly a violation there. I'm sure they knew what they were doing. There was no, you know, they were trying to hide it from the warden. So, I mean, it wasn't a situation of ignorance. Long story short, through some legal technicalities, they were able to basically skirt that whole violation. They ended up getting what amounted to a slap on the wrist of a $50 fine each. Now, granted, they did spend a couple of days in jail after the violation occurred, just because they were from out of state, and the state they're from was not a member of what's called the Interstate Wildlife Violator Compact, which is sort of a cooperative between several states that recognize violations across state lines. So had they left the state at that point in time, they couldn't have gotten, you know, they would have been free, and, you know, they couldn't have prosecuted or tried to prosecute. But in the end, you know, For a violation that has a maximum penalty that's probably closer to $1,000, to get a $50 fine, I just find that absolutely insulting. I think it's very unfortunate. And what kind of a message does that send the poachers out there? You know, I mean, we're looking at a fish and game resource. It's a limited resource. It's a valuable resource. The people that are doing these things, they're stealing from all of you, all of us, and that they can get by so easily on this. It's just not right. I'm not sure what the answer is. You know, it can vary from county to county, depending on, you know, the state's attorney, the people in the kind of in the positions of power that make those decisions. But any way you look at it, it should not be acceptable to those of us who hunt and fish.
Well, I have to agree. And this kind of goes back to where the group in town here, the Red River Hookers, took the opportunity to request the no fish over 24 inch rule to protect the fishery. And granted, the local fishermen are very good about this, but you're right. What a slap in the face. $50 for 11 over. Now, what would have happened had that been a walleye up here in walleye country? They'd have had the book thrown at them, I'm sure.
Well, you know, hopefully one will never get to find out and that doesn't happen. But, you know, it does lead you to think that, you know, maybe there's a little bit of disregard for the resource here. And really, really unfortunate when you look at the Red River here. I mean, it's got just a world-class catfish fishery. And, I mean, I've got kind of a soft spot in my heart for those catfish, as you do as well, and, you know, many other anglers we know who live up here. So to see that resource abused in that way, and then, you know, just this total wanton disregard for any type of, you know, consequences as a result, it's really unfortunate.
Seems to me like there's some letters to the editor need to be written by a select few folks so this something like this doesn't happen again, because my fear after this makes it to the certain amount of poachers is I'm going to roll the dice. It just, I'm scared of that now the impression out there is I'll roll the dice because what's going to happen? A night in jail with a free dinner and a bed and a $50 fine for big fish, you know?
Yeah. It's absolutely laughable. But, you know, at the same time, you know, the people that are out there, you know, enforcing fish and game laws just have to keep plugging away. Those of us who care about the resource have to keep plugging away. And it's up to all of us because, you know, those wardens out there have a huge area to cover and they don't have the resources to do it properly. So, I mean, it's up to all of us to kind of police ourselves. And if we see somebody out there not playing by the rules, you know, let the authorities know. Don't be afraid to report them. Every state probably has some type of a turn-in poachers hotline. Get to know that number, carry it with you, and don't be afraid to use it if you see someone breaking the law.
Absolutely. And I think this is going to pretty much wrap it up. Folks, I got to remind you once again that without the sponsors here at Why Fish, we can't stay on the air. I mean, they keep us on the hard drive in our case. And those are today's tackle, home of the Ice Buster Bobber. Did you get to use some Ice Busters up north?
Yeah, and I tell you what, there was something wrong with them. They kept sinking.
Shucks. Also the Rod Rocker, too. You know, Cats on the Red, catfishing's just around the corner, and I've been looking at a lot of pictures. And in fact, last week we booked the annual July trip up there, and you know, I've got kind of the bug starting to itch me here. Plus, we've been getting a lot of emails because they're going to be joining us on a couple of other trips. So check them out on the web, catsonthered.net. Get your trip booked early because I know they get busy throughout the summer. And if we don't get flooding, it's really going to be busy because there's a lot of catfish people who just didn't get their fix last year.
Well, I can think of one of them right off the top of my head. And if you don't have a website, if you don't have a computer access to that, give them a call at area code 204-757-9876. And so on that note, I guess we'll wrap up this week. Wrap up this week's edition of Why Fish Radio. Until next time, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.